From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, on this 19th day of March 2021, 9:06 in the morning. And this is a very special day on many, many levels. Of course, it's really close, right, to going to be spring. I'm so excited that spring is right around the corner. In fact, yesterday it was really pretty cool. Cindy, the owner of KSLM, came in with a beautiful bouquet of daffodils, and it was so unique because they were multicolored and very bright, and I thought, nothing says spring more like cherry blossoms and daffodils. And so we're right there around the corner from spring. And then the other thing is that today, March 19th, is my brother Rob's birthday. And if you haven't heard me talk about my brother Rob, he was 2 years younger than me. And we lost him suddenly at the age of 38. And he left a wife and three little children. In fact, just this last couple months, actually within the last month, his son, would be his first grandson, was born, Easton. In fact, you can keep him, if you're praying people, you can keep little Easton in your prayers, because little Easton is having some heart issues himself. And so we're keeping him in our prayers. The mom and dad, my nephew Hunter and his wife Brooke, have been in and out of the hospital with him. And so today is Rob's birthday. He would have been 50 today, and so I certainly think of him. And I know, friends, when we have unexpected loss in our lives, loved ones that have passed away, you know, it's hard not to remember them on their birthdays. And so this day, my parents often will put a balloon in the air in remembrance of my brother, and we just honor him today and his legacy. And his very favorite scripture was, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And that certainly is true. Today, tomorrow, forever, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so honor to you, Rob, today. And for those of you, if you have a birthday today, we honor you today and say happy birthday. And I certainly want to encourage you, if you have a friend or family member or co-worker that has a birthday, you want to give them a shout out on the radio, send me an email. I'd be glad to do it. Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. And then I am excited to share with you some headlines. This is kind of interesting. As we move towards summer, we're talking about spring and summer. You know, I've been wondering this, and part of the reason why I wanted to move back to Oregon is I remember as a kid all the fun county fairs, the state fair right here in Salem, and all the festivals that were taking place. Well, according to the Northwest Observer, they have a story right now. You can go to northwestobserver.com and check it out. It's, "Will outdoor venues be open this summer?" And it says, "Fairs and festivals will begin to make decisions as they make their plans for summer. Could we see outdoor celebrations return this summer?" The article goes on to say, "Today, Governor Brown and the Oregon Health Authority announced some changes to the capacity guidelines for outdoor events in anticipation of county fairs and festivals this spring and summer. The new guidelines for the capacity are tied to the current Oregon Health Authority sector risk level guidance chart. However, the guidelines for new outdoor entertainment establishments, including zoos, gardens, theaters, stadiums, and fairs and festivals, changed effective March 17th. Here's where they're at. Lower risk, maximum 50% occupancy. Moderate risk, maximum 25%, high risk, maximum 15%, and extreme, a maximum of 50 people. Closing time for all outdoor entertainment is 11 p.m., except for low risk, which is midnight. Early to announce was Linn County Fairgrounds Tuesday at the Linn County Commissioner meeting. Commissioner Roger Nyquist announced, "I have had some dialogue with public health community at the state level that led me to believe that by the time we get to mid-July, we'll be able to host a county fair," he continued. "I'm an optimist, so I think the people who have enjoyed going to Linn County Fair in the past should expect to do so again come July." So that is good news coming from our headlines, and thank you to Northwest Observer. We need some good news, right? Here is a little bit of frustrating news for many people in Oregon that continue to wrestle with the Oregon Unemployment Office, as I call it. It's actually Oregon Employment Division, right? And they're continuing to have lack of communication. Many left wondering whether or not to file a new claim moving forward. This is again, coming from Coin TV. They're just not sure. Frustration continues to grow with the Oregon Employment Department. From those who are unsure of filing their procedures, many people are nearing the one-year mark of their unemployment benefits. OED does not have a clear answer for those asking whether or not they should file a new claim for the preceding year. There's just a lot of confusion. I'll link this article up to our Facebook page. You can dig in further, but certainly there has been so much confusion. And even there was an article, I think, 2 days ago from the DMV. There's still a lot of clutter and confusion with our Oregon Department of Motor Vehicles, as well as people are trying to get their tags renewed, trying to get like their campers and their boats and all of those kinds of things taken care of, their new driver's license if they've expired. And there's a lot of confusion around that too. And it just seems like since this last year and with all of the COVID, in fact, I was joking with Terry a little bit. He had to do some customer service phone call in this morning. And I said, you know, it's really interesting, all these people working from home, you know, they're not in their regular cubicles or whatever. A lot of people were working from home. How customer service this last year has really gone down the drain, right? And their excuse is COVID. But I would think with more time and more less, you know, distraction from being in an office situation, that they'd have their commute, their service and their customer service would actually go up. You would think so, right? But then again, that's common sense. And, you know, there's no chart to measure common sense along with all the COVID stuff. Oh, I am a little sarcastic this morning. I apologize. And a lot of it is just because there's so much going on in the headlines and so much interesting, really interesting things going on at the Capitol Hill up in Congress as well. Did you get a chance to watch Dr. Fauci and Rand Paul? I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. Terry and I sat and watched it again. I thought, you know, it'd really be interesting to have this clip on the air because it was so good. It was like finally someone was holding Dr. Fauci accountable. And it's like he's untouched. No one can really question him or ask him. But Rand Paul really had said, hey, where's the evidence in the United States? Where's the evidence that once you've had the vaccination or once you've had COVID that you can still contaminate people? Why do we need to be wearing the mask? And basically, this is a Stacey paraphrase, basically is saying, look, it's theater. It's optics, right? You're wearing the mask, you're telling people to wear the mask, but really we're getting to that point where there's immunity. And Dr. Fauci was like sputtering and stuff. And I think it would have been more confusing, Terry and I agreed, that to play the clip, but it was very interesting to watch and see how good Rand Paul is, and he knows his stuff and he knows the data and he just nailed it. And I think that's good talking points when we're talking to their people around us as to as we move forward, and that several people in the community are getting the vaccinations and across the United States, and people that have had COVID, you know, we're getting to that immunity where it's not as risky as it was when it first came around a year ago. These are all things considered, and it is interesting that we kind of watch what's going on at the national level and certainly keep our accountability at the local level. And one of the interesting things for me this season, I have been highly alerted more than any other season before, is the Convention of States issue. Because as I'm learning and my literacy of the Constitution is growing through the Patriot Academy, I am learning how influential our states are, kind of a trickle up to the national level. And I have on the air with me my friend, Deanna. Thank you, Deanna, for being here with me this morning. And there's been some momentum this year around Convention of States. Talk to us a little bit about what it is, first of all, and how the states hold the power to influence federal policy.
There has been some excitement this year because it was supposed to happen last year.
Mm-hmm.
You gave that a great summary. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
All right. I'm just getting feedback, so I'll just keep on talking, even though I'm hearing my own self, but all is good. So the basics of Convention of States is using the Constitution to basically save our nation. Article 5 in the Constitution was set up by our founders to basically make amendments to the Constitution. So all 27 amendments that we have written in the Constitution right now came from Article 5. But what a lot of people don't know is Article 5 has a Section 2, and this was the backup that the founders gave before when the federal government became bloated. They knew it was going to happen. It has been happening probably for more than 50 years, and it is due for an overhaul. But what Article 2 mentions, and I don't have, oh, I do have a constitution right with me. I could read it. I'll dig that out while I'm still talking. But it basically gives the power to the states to bring about amendments, just like Congress does.
Mm-hmm.
So it is our ability to bring amendments, to make changes to the federal government like we, like Congress can.
Mm-hmm.
And we have more risk of overreach and more risk of losing much of what we have, just how the Congress is operating right now. So let's see if I can find Section 2 and read it real quickly, but I'm just trying to... There we
I
go.
Think it's so important. Congress. Yep, what you're talking about is so important. Go ahead.
So Article 5, it says, the Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution. That's the basics. Or, the second part is the major part, or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments. And then it gets into the details. So if we look back at our civics classes, which many of us were not required to take, my hand is raised. My government was like 2 months of my last senior year of high school, so I don't have very much civics. But if you remember your civics classes, if you've had them, you know the two-thirds. To bring an amendment, it requires two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
To ratify an amendment, it requires three-fourths of Congress, is how we've been taught. Convention of States is the same thing. It just is the state legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds of the state legislatures, which basically 34 states, or and then three-fourths of the state's legislatures to ratify it is 38 states. So that's the simple math.
Mm-hmm.
What we're covering in Convention of States... And when we bring, whether it's Congress or the states, when they bring something to propose as an amendment, it has to be something that is similar in wording.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say somebody wants to, let's make it simple. Let's say somebody wants to serve steak at dinner,
mm-hmm.
and somebody else wants to serve chicken. Well, the only thing you can talk about at the convention is steak. You cannot deviate off from chicken. Now, that's basic. I'm just keeping it very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So what is similar about Convention of States is we're keeping it three. We want to limit the federal government's power, their budget, and their term limits. Now, what comes out of the convention when it is called is it could be one, two, three, or none of those things.
Mm.
But the conversation, the discussion of the amendments cannot deviate off of those three topics.
Which,
that's what we want to focus on.
Which leads into a great discussion. I have a few more questions. We're going to be going to break here in just a minute, but a couple of questions for you to chew on, Deanna, before we go to break is this. So if I understand you right, the resolutions to do Convention of States will be determined and there'll be a mission at hand and it can't deviate from that. I want to hit, kind of play devil's advocate and hit from the other side as to why people are a little hesitant to go there. I'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, glad to be hanging out with you on this Friday. Ooh, tomorrow, the first day of spring, I'm pretty excited about that. I hope you are too. I know certainly we see lots of evidence of spring all around, especially all the little birdies, you know, gathering and it's just so fun to watch the creation rejoice. It's almost like they're unaffected by this last year. They just keep doing their thing. And I think we have much to learn from nature and creation. And we talk about the fairs. You know, I read the article from Northwest Observer. I got a text from our friend Mike Adams, who happens to be the chair of the Marion County Fair. And he says that we will have a Marion County Fair the second weekend in July. Instead of 4 days, it'll be 3 days. And so we'll have to have him on the air talking a little bit about that. I am excited because when you think about kids and the fair and raising chickens and calves and showing their calves and riding horses and all of the things that happen at with 4-H and learning those skills about nature and it's just so incredibly important to have this in our communities and our county fairs and our state fair, just even from anywhere from the barn all the way to the crafts and the people drawing and the essay contests and all of that. It's such a great opportunity to create community and skill building and even in civics, you know, and because there's a certain way to do things and it teaches these skills to children. And when we talk about our Constitution, and we talk about our United States of America and how important all of these foundational things are, we don't realize how critical they are, and we just kind of assume they're always going to be there. And what I appreciate about you, Deanna, is you have been probably my most fervent friend that I know about Convention of States. And we've worked hard in South Dakota to try to get one of these resolutions. And again, this year didn't quite get passed. And we look at South Dakota as like this conservative state, but we have enough libertarian in South Dakota. It's kind of an interesting dynamics. But there's been momentum in many other states coming together. And some of the pushback is this. Well, you know, we open up Pandora's box, and once we have a convention of states, we don't know what all pop up during that time. And what I hear you saying is, with all of these resolutions, specific resolutions, those are the only things you can address at a convention of states. Is that correct? Do I understand that correctly?
That is. Those are the only three that are on. We go by historical documents. Mm-hmm. Different conventions that have been in the past. And I always admit, you know, I'm just Deanna. I'm not a constitutional attorney. Thank God the team has wrapped their arms around a handful of them. Rob Nadelson is one of them. So he goes through a lot of the details of what the precedences are in a convention. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book called The Law of Article 5, and I mm-hmm. always reference that. I've got a copy here, and I've got a copy at home, and it's just, it lays out the basics of how a convention really works. Mm-hmm. But we'll hear a lot of pushback, of course, because people don't know. They fear what they don't know.
Right.
Same way with, you know, the whole, everything that happened in 2020, and it's lingering into 2021. They fear what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remind people of is do some historical digging. Trust the experts. Mm-hmm. We have a panel of legal experts on our team at Convention of States. Some of them are big names, like Mark Levin, who is an attorney.
Yes.
Aside from his
radio broadcast
show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dr. Ben Carson supports it, the governor of Florida. There's so many people that know the Constitution and know what it all entails and what comes with doing changes to it.
Well, and the
so
thing
that's
why
I tell people is trust
press
them.
For yeah, and the thing that I'm drawn back to going through this Patriot Academy, you know, the literacy rate of Americans as in regards to the Constitution is in a kind of in a crisis, I would say. I think we're in a constitutional crisis, certainly a lot of our state constitutions as well, with what's happened in the last 6 months. But in Amendment 1, it talks about that we have an opportunity to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And I would think that, in my mind, a convention of states coming together, states across, you know, we come together aligned to say, hey, federal government, back off, right? And address, mm-hmm. and what about a balanced budget and some of these things, you know? And I just think it's a great opportunity to come together and show, because we are sovereign individual states, United States of America. And that states' rights, you know, and I think people don't understand that. We just look to the feds to bail everything out, and yet we need to take care of our, I believe the government closest to us is the best government. Talk to us a little bit. You're the Patriot Academy. I know Mark Meckler's involved. I know the Bartons are involved. I've been attending in person here at People's Church. I think we're in like week 5 now, but I also re-signed up for the online version, patriotacademy.com, so that I can kind of go back and fill in my notes, right, and get really good about learning the Constitution. This is something that you guys are fully behind, right?
We are. Mark has partnered with Rick Green, and we've been working with the Bartons for many, many years. Tim Barton, I've had the privilege of working with him at our little events in South Dakota, because, you know, there's maybe a dozen to 40 people that come, but that's a huge representation in a small community. Mm-hmm. But I've been able to, shake hands, meet and greet with Tim Barton. It's been a bit great, but it's been a great partnership because it enunciates the importance of re-educating the American public.
Yes.
Before I started volunteering with COS in about 6 years ago, I knew nothing, barely anything about the Constitution. And my knowledge base has just tripled, or not even. I mean, it's probably, 18 times more than that. But it's a great partnership, but also, it instructs people who are taking the courses from Rick Green to have an action.
Yes.
A lot of times we listen to radio shows, nationally syndicated shows, and it's all about this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this
right.
is wrong.
Right. This
but
gives us
no
a
solution.
Yeah, this is a call to action. And speaking of that, in the seconds we have left, how do people get involved with Convention of States, sign the petition? Where did they go?
Easy, conventionofstates.com. And if you want to get involved, click Take Action.
Awesome. Thank you, Deanna, for jumping on the call with me. Have a wonderful day. And we're going to keep pulling you in with more information. Thank you so much. Have a great day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I also want to remind you, friends, if you want to join Patriot Academy, go to patriotacademy.com. Get signed up for a constitutional class today. We're going to continue the conversation. Coming up, we're going to be talking to J.C. Hall and finding out how we can fight back against socialism. We'll be back. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Enjoying a wonderful morning. 46 degrees right here at the KSLM studio. Warming up to 52 with rain in the forecast for the next few days. Actually, the first day of spring kicking off tomorrow. Thrilled about that, and I just certainly want to say thanks to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give Dave and Paige a call, 503-939-7099. Now, friends, if you recall, last month we had an opportunity here to have Chris Ann Hall do a training and her husband, JC, to do a training here in Salem, and they were at the River Church, and they spent their weekend with us, training us and equipping us on why, as citizens, we need to be engaged in the culture and what we can do to push back. And I'm excited to introduce on the line with me. I know we've had Chris Ann on before, but I'm excited to introduce J.C. Hall. J.C., thank you for joining us this morning. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I'm telling you, I am having so much fun every afternoon, and I know there's a little bit of a time difference between where you're at and where we're at here at the Pacific Coast, but I love the broadcast that you and Chris Ann do, your podcasts, your video that you do together, kind of hitting on what's happening in the day and giving your perspective and doing it from a nonpartisan, biblical-based, constitutional-based perspective. And I appreciate the work, not only that you do and the research that you do and you're staying on top of it, but also your technical skills are beyond anything I've been introduced to. You do just a great job. And so I want to give you that compliment. And I also want to say, we are just wanting to know where we're at with this non-compliant documentary. Where are we at with that?
Well, last week we were wrapping up final review over the edits and things, and our producer was pretty much doing the final rendering. Mm-hmm. Ran into an equipment failure, had to order a piece of equipment, and so he's getting that reinstalled and finishing up the final rendering, and I hope to see it out. Gosh, I'm hoping by next week, the end of next week, we'll be able to be watching this thing.
That's awesome, because the timing, you know, as much as we want it out right now, we also know that it'll come out right when it's supposed to, and we're trusting in that.
It's been a fight. Somebody just told us yesterday that, you know, if something doesn't have opposition, you might be headed in the wrong direction.
Mm.
So I guess we're headed the right way, because it's been a lot of obstacles.
Yeah, you're spot on. And even with just the trailer that you can go to noncompliant, I believe it's .com, right? And you can watch the trailer to this. Just to the
noncompliantmovie.com
is so spot on. And I know when I was at CPAC, I was handing it out, like, you need to check this trailer out. You need to be watching for this, you know, and doing my thing, try to get exposure. Now, you also have, you do the guns, godgunsandliberty.com. You get t-shirts out there as well. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, godgunsliberty.com. It's a t-shirt shop that we have online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to, you have all your sort of liberty gear, lots of people making t-shirts. One thing we try to do from the beginning is to make them sort of educational. So we have, you know, we have little sayings and little historical tidbits and things. So we try to incorporate that. Check that out, godgunsliberty.com. And we're continually trying to add more and come up with new ideas.
I love it.
We do so many things, it's hard to keep up with ourselves.
I bet so. I'm wondering when you even get a chance to rest. Well, I wanted to bring you on, not only talk about these things and behind the scenes, because every good, strong woman has a good, strong man behind her. And I wanted to feature your background and how you both are such an incredible team together. And your work in with the military and your service background has given you a perspective. And you shared one of your training sessions was on socialism. And I think there's this general idea, and our listeners are pretty smart. They kind of get it. But I think there may be someone out there that doesn't quite understand that socialism isn't necessarily, you know, a redistribution so everybody gets to play even. There's a bigger design by it. And you want to talk to us a little bit? We got it probably about 6 minutes here. Go for it.
Yeah, I find even in conservative circles, we don't sort of slow down and think about some of the things we have said. I have had to correct my speech when I really began delving into this. And, you know, I was a Russian linguist in the military back since 1990. I've been studying Soviet history and communism and that sort of thing for, you know, ever since. What is that, 30 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I feel old every time I think about that. But, to go down the path, just real briefly, I was looking at some things happening in the last year, and I started hearing many, many, many libertarians say, oh, we're anarchists. We've always been anarchists. And I thought, wait a minute, what? That's odd. What do you mean by that? Well, I never heard of that. I mean, I thought the core of libertarian, not little L, not capital L, the party, but libertarian philosophy was about individual liberty. How does anarchy, you know, plug into this? And then we saw sort of the trap laid for January 6th and people get drawn in that movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to start really, really digging into the anarchist history and found, you know, the revolutionary anarchist movement, which is what was afoot here in the U.S. And I discovered how it was an offshoot of socialism. And I really sort of doubled down into my research that I'd been studying for a while, but really things just started, you know, falling into place as I pieced it all together and all the little modern organizations and things that are happening. And a couple of key things I kept hearing even us say is that socialism is anti-capitalist. It's an anti-capitalist system. Well, the reality is that's not true. It's not an anti-capitalist system. It is a capitalist system. It involves capital.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have even the useful idiots like you referred to, you know, where they're just going to divvy up everything equally. No, it is a capitalist system with uber wealthy elites at the top And the entire goal is to make the revenue stream, capture the revenue stream, and make it go into their pockets while everybody else is equally poor. So I kept hearing people come up to me, JC, how can all these billionaires like Zuckerberg and Bezos and all these people support socialism? And I thought, well, clearly you don't understand what socialism is.
Exactly.
It's always been led by uber wealthy elite billionaires, this oligarchy at the top. It's not about the elimination of property. It's about the consolidation of property. It's not about the elimination of capital. It's about the consolidation of capital. We had a lady who's came out of the Soviet Union to America, and she was describing, you know, her experiences and what she saw. And she said, yeah, there were rich people in the Soviet Union. They had all their nice cars and their dacha and their summer homes and mansions and that sort of thing. They were the oligarchy in the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
She said, people have this crazy idea that socialism is somehow against money and against wealth, but it's not. It's about this elite oligarchy taking all the wealth. And you know, even the useful idiots on the left don't get this. It's mind-boggling to me to watch these uber-rich people, uber-rich leftists, standing up telling the useful idiots to hate the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow there's no contradiction in that. They don't realize this entire system is about theft, taking from, you know, the average everyday person and putting everything in the hands of this uber wealthy oligarchy so that they can control essentially the globe and institute their utopian vision. You know, it's this ultimate conceit where they think they are somehow the superhuman, super smart, you know, we can just shape the world it to our own images.
It's a godlike complex is what it is. And it is. I always found it interesting when how they use it against everyday people, the populace in a sense, where they say, you know, we got to go after the big corporations and we got to tax them more. And then when it gets to paper or the actual laws get made, it's more repressive on the populace, and people don't catch on to that because the narrative, that everything supports their narrative. And what I love about what you and Chris Ann do, and a couple nights ago, and it's usually the evening when I actually hear the broadcast, so it's my night, is that you talk about the language and you talk about disinformation and misinformation and really bringing some awareness to words that are being used, trigger words that we get kind of numb to and we just play into or we repeat, and we have to be cautious and conscious about, we can't do this. We need to be really selective with the words that we use because it's all with a purpose, right?
Yeah. Any subversive system, you know, what I see really big picture, antichrist system, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But any sort of subversive elements of these systems, one of their first methodologies is seize the language.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so much about the language. I mean, you think back from a biblical perspective, you think back to the very first assault by Satan was seize the language. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that?
Did God really mean that?
If he said mm-hmm. that, what did it actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're not really going to die. I mean, what do we mean by die? You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
it's just always the first step, seize the language. So you hear, you know, all this they call, oh, this is a dog whistle. You can't even use common language anymore. Oh, that's a dog whistle. You know, oh, but I didn't say that. No, but it's code. It's actually what you mean.
Mm.
So it's all this dominate the language, and then we make the mistake by letting them dictate the narrative and using the vocabulary that they supply to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so, you know, it's been so long and it's such a strong and subtle system of brainwashing that you can have these billionaires standing up pushing a narrative of hate the rich, hate the corporations, yet they are the rich.
Hmm.
They're the head of these global corporations. And the populace eats it up because of this twisted education which took the language many, many decades ago and has prepared a populace to receive this delusion.
And it really is mind-boggling to think how we can be so captive to all of that in that think, that group think mode versus the individual responsibility and doing what's right for myself and my family. The pressure to do what's better for the community and minimize yourself, and it plays into even those of faith-filled individuals, they're conflicted. It's like, well, I want to wear the mask because I want to get along to go along, and I won't cause it, but yet that's my liberty. You know, there's this struggle going on, and it's visual. When you go out in public, you see it, and I'm all about being a part of the solution and bringing things forward that people, individuals can do to make sure that we have the information that we need to be emboldened and courageous to go forth and do so. And when we come back from this break, I'm hoping, JC, you can give us some ways that you found others across America are doing just that. Will you stay on with us and talk us through that?
Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. Hanging out with JC Hall today. Stick around, friends. We'll be back after this. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. You can hear us at 1220 AM, 104.3 FM, and streaming online 24/7 at kslm.news. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and we're so excited to be hanging out with JC Hall. And JC and Chris Ann Hall both do a daily journal. And it says here, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it has added value to my day-to-day life and certainly given me some perspective and understanding. And what a privilege it was to meet you and Chris Ann a few weeks ago when you were at the River Church here in Salem. And you all have a wonderful training opportunity, Liberty First University, and you work with the River Church to provide this training here locally, and they're going to kick it off on March 24th. And so, friends, listeners, if you want to raise that bar of your constitutional IQ and certainly figure out ways that you can be engaged as a citizen here locally in Marion County, in Salem, and I'd encourage you, if you're listening and you're in the Newburgh area or whatever, come on down to this class. What a great opportunity to meet together in community and get trained by phenomenal trainers. JC, I just applaud you and Chris Ann for really taking that leap of faith and launching this as a response to what you were seeing going on, right? And I want you to encourage us as ordinary populace, right? How can we make a difference in our communities? What are you seeing across America others are doing that we could do as well?
Well, first off, we have to understand that, you know, the socialist system is about centralized control, mm-hmm. right? It's about a small number of people dominating the majority. And the beauty of America is that it was built on a foundation of local self-governance. Mm-hmm. So we still have our municipalities. We still have our states as an opportunity to protect our individual liberty. It's not about controlling our fellow citizens. It's just about keeping the lanes of liberty open so that you can live and enjoy your own life, your own property, the fruits of your own labors, freedom of expression, freedom of association. And it's always mind-boggling to me as to why anyone wouldn't want the same thing. This is why I don't fully comprehend less motivation sometimes, mm-hmm. other than being brainwashed. But because of that structure of still having opportunity of local self-governance through our local municipalities and states, we are seeing people and groups of people all over engaging in their local and state government to protect their liberties. We've taught, gosh, I think in the last month and a half, we've taught three conferences to sheriffs, mm-hmm. in three different states. I mean, sheriffs from nearly every county in these states, who recognize that they are the highest constitutional officer in their county, and they can really stand in the gap to protect the people's individual liberty. And so we're seeing that movement really get some forward momentum We've also talked to many, many groups, just like People's Rights in Oregon. Many groups all over the country now are really interested in actually organizing and doing things to push back. So we're watching groups form to lobby the legislature. We're watching groups come together to create alternative avenues of commerce so they can't be dictated to by these big corporations as well as government regulatory agencies. So we're seeing a lot of movement where people are really getting involved. And it's very encouraging watching so many young people. I'll never forget, shortly after the Snowden revelations, we were in Oregon and California at the time and had meetings for, I think, 3 straight weeks. No meeting was less than 300 people.
Wow.
And we started noticing that over two-thirds of every one of those meetings were young people, 24 and under.
Hmm.
And it seemed to me at the time, you know, that they saw the Snowden revelations, regardless of what anybody may think of him or his motivations. How it came across to many of the young people, they didn't want mom and dad in their email and on their Facebook and spying on them, much less the federal government. So
right.
We saw a big sort of influx of young people, and then it's been the same ever since. Because we used to go around and older people would complain, oh, young people are not plugged in. And well, that may be so where you're at, but we're seeing them all over the country, and it hasn't changed. It's only growing. And so we're seeing that segment. I think, obviously, the minority community, President Trump's administration seemed to have a massive impact on that. We see a lot of minority communities rising up, standing for their liberty, leaving the leftist plantation that had them in bondage. We're seeing the churches stand up, so many churches. It's unbelievable. And I think we've seen this sort of separating the wheat from the chaff during this COVID phenomenon within the church world. So we're seeing a real delineation of gospel-centered, liberty-loving churches standing up and getting involved. So it's a massive move of activism and plugging in. And so I encourage, wherever you're at, you know, find a group. People are active and people are looking for solutions. We just did a class where we're, giving people an overview of how to organize. We're going to be putting that up at libertyfirstuniversity.com. And so we're here to help and advise anybody that wants to get a group together. And there are lots of different battlefields that you can focus on. There are a lot of different fights. And so we try to encourage people and instruct and teach people how to do that.
Well, and in Oregon, and what I appreciate about what you all have done, and you've been here often, is here in Oregon we feel a little overwhelmed because we have such a stronghold of one-party rule here in our state. And I think because of that's happened for so long, people have just thought, well, what difference does it make? What can I do about it? You know, it's all, they're going to make the decisions anyway, until it starts affecting you personally, like this last year and all these rules, realizing, hey, we've got to do something about it. And so there's a shift that I have seen happen. And when I was in Florida for CPAC, and I told people I'm living in Oregon right now, they were like, oh, I'm so sorry. It was almost like I was a missionary in a foreign land. And so I'm very thankful to you and Chris Ann for coming and bringing reinforcement and bringing awareness and awakening and tools, actual practical solutions that we can do. And I do believe part of that, the answer is, if our churches could stand up in each county in Oregon and in whatever state, would hold these classes on constitutional literacy and understanding that we do have our rights and we have our state's rights, I think we can gain some ground back and we can do some of these and get involved in community again, like you said, so that we can reinforce the individual rights and the state's rights over the federal ruling class, right?
Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, you know, watching People's Rights Oregon, for instance, having success pushing back against OSHA and some of these regulatory agencies. I mean, it's amazing. So you have BJ up there, basically was inspired some time ago, like Chris Ann's classes, and studied intently, listened intently. He took the principles we teach, translated them into practical action. I mean, we've even learned from him. I take some examples where he took what we teach, translated into practical tools, and then we've taken that and we're now passing it on to other people around the country. So it's an amazing synergy when you get out and you connect with people, you teach them, and we tell, you know, we can't do every little thing for you, but we'll give you the principles. We'll teach you give you the compass and teach you the the framework, and you have to use creativity, imagination, and hard work and put these things into practice. And we're just seeing that everywhere, and it's amazing. It's so different from the 2010 Tea Party.
Oh, yeah. It's deeper and wider.
Getting mad, making noise.
Yep, we are actually taking action, and I thank you for joining us today, J.C. Hall. I bless you and Chris Ann. Look forward to seeing you again soon, and please keep us updated on the movie, okay?
God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a fantastic day. Friends, thank you for tuning in today to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I encourage you to go to chrisannhall.com, get signed up to the Daily Journal, and get in contact with JC and Chris Ann. Look at all the wonderful things they have on their website. You have a blessed day, friends. Happy spring to you. Remember, God bless you, and God bless the USA. Have a great day.